Now, if you examine the history of the world, the greatest experiments in this field have been done in India. They've been done elsewhere also. But some of the greatest and repeated experiments in multiplicity . This is an objective fact. It is not that we are speaking about India because we are Indians. This is a fact of Indian history, that some of the profoundest experiments and repeated experiments have occurred in India. And the earliest were found in the Veda. And having made experiments, they have laid down the road. The roads have been built so that others can follow that road very easily. Now, they found in their experiment that first by withdrawing from the situation and by gaining lot of experience of self-consciousness, you can come back on the situation and you can greatly change the situation. But this experiment has to be done in many levels. This is the speciality of the Vedic rishis. That this withdrawing from a situation and again coming back to the situation to change it occurs on several levels. The first is at the level of the physical. Where you confront only a physical situation, withdraw from the physical situation, become larger than the field, come back to the physical situation and change it. Then you come to the situation of life, not the physical, but the life situation. Not merely physical, but life of emotions, sentiments, desires, attractions, repulsions. Withdraw from this life situation. Come back again to the life situation, change it. And they said this also can be greatly changed. Then they made experience with the mind. And similarly, they showed that even mind can be greatly changed, mental situations can be greatly changed. Therefore, the Vedic experience is called the experience of victory. Victory. Experience of victory. There is a battle and there is a victory. And you go from plane to plane, ascend from plane to plane, and they said even beyond the mind there is another plane, the truth plane as they call it, not the mind plane but the truth plane, Satyam Ritam Brihat, the plane of Satyam Ritam Brihat. So a higher plane. And when you reach that plane, then you find that even mental, vital, physical planes can be changed by the help of your going into the truth plane. And they found that some of the individuals reach such a point that they could change completely their entire being. Human nature, they found, can be entirely changed. They not only experienced immortality at the highest plane, they built immortality in the situation itself. Now this was repeated also in the Upanishads. And they gave so much of importance to remain in the situation, not to escape from it, but to change the situation, that they said that if you do not do it while in the body, then you have to come back again in the body, until you really realize it in the body itself, while in the body. Merely by withdrawing, if you merely withdraw, do not think that you will escape it. Even if you try to escape, you will have to come back again. But this process was a long process, to withdraw and again to change. But this treasure of experience which was in the Veda got lost after the Upanishads particularly. This wealth of knowledge and experience was not fully transmitted. So when fresh experiments were made, there was a real question which was raised once again. Can the situation really be changed? And they found that situation cannot be changed. You can withdraw from it, you can escape from the situation, but you can't change the situation. Having come to this conclusion, they found quicker methods of escape, because the other method was a long method. But now, if it was a question only of withdrawing, then it was found that there are many other ways of escaping, not the standard methods of escape and then coming back again, which were described in the Vedas and the Upanishads. So they found out that if you just develop the mind and induce in the mind a sense of vairagya, sense of vanity, meaninglessness, then the mind is induced to withdraw from the situation much more quickly. Secondly, you develop the mind in the field of concentration, because when you withdraw, you have to withdraw truly and with a sustenance for a long period, and this can happen only if the mind is sufficiently trained to be concentrated for a long time. So this is the second prescription made. First is vairagya, second the method of sustaining for a long period is a sense of concentration or a capacity of concentration to be away from the situation in self-consciousness. And if you can remain long and long and long periods, then you can very quickly come out of the snares of the situation. And ultimately you reach a point where you still find that even having withdrawn, when you come back again from there, because you can't remain withdrawn for all the time, because the bodily calls will be there, the appetite of the body will be there, other physical discomforts will be there, so you'll be called back from that, from your withdrawal. So a point must come when you should even try to come out of the body. So they prescribed that by long sessions of vairagya and concentration, you are enabled to come out ultimately from the body itself. Then you can remain absorbed in the self-consciousness. Now these methods became prominent in India. Particularly in Buddhistic tendency, in Jain tendency, and also in the Hindu tendency to some extent, if not fully, but also there it became prominent. So there is a long history of India where you can see very clearly that the richness of the Vedic experience was as if you had put behind. It was only memory but not practiced. In practice, it is only this kind of a method which was developed. And each one came out with quicker methods by which you can escape from the situation. There are of course movements where there was a kind of an opposition to this kind of an escape, such as we find in the Bhagavad Gita. If you ask the real question why Arjuna was bewildered, he was asking this very question, why should I not escape from here? Because it was quite prominent by that time itself that you can escape from the situation. And particularly this horrible situation, why not to have withdrawal and attend to samadhi and remain completely quiet? Blameless, sinless, you commit nothing wrong at all. Why not to attain to that position? So remembering the Vedic experience and Upanishadic experience, Sri Krishna repeats the Vedic experience, you might say. And he says that although that is possible, he says that is possible to anybody, for anybody to withdraw, quite possible. But I do not prescribe it, he says. Is not preferable. There are both the methods of escaping and dealing with the situation and changing the situation. And that is the preferred path that Sri Krishna says, and he says that this path was declared by me long ago. In the fourth chapter he says to Arjuna that I gave it to Vaivaswan and then to Manu, then to Ikshvaku, and then it is lost. And I am now giving back again to you. But even after the Bhagavad Gita's great message, the general tendency that prevailed was a quick shortcut. Why to deal with this situation at all? Why not to come out of it? So escape from life, escape from the meaning of the situation, became a very prevalent idea. Now this is the, you might say, the mixed history of what has been done so far. In the modern times, once again, there is a tendency which prescribes that you should not escape, you should face. It's a modern tendency. It has come not from a spiritual tradition, but from the modern tendency. This is the gift of the modern progressivism, which says, what is the point of anything if your brethren go hungry every day? You may rest in your great solitude and you may enjoy peace and harmony in your consciousness, but if your brethren are obliged to go hungry every day, so it is the modern progressivism which says that you may do anything in the world, you may achieve anything for yourself, but until you achieve something for the whole community, you establish a new order of society. Then your achievements can be considered valuable. Otherwise, what's the point in it? Now, this is a new tendency which has arisen all over the world today. But once again, therefore, in the light of this new trend, the question is being put, is it really possible to change the situation?